congregation, that girls and who knows what, there's quite a few that went over, weren't there, Deanna? Many. Yes, a good friend of his and ours from way back passed away, and they were able to attend that service, and we miss them today. We pray for their safe travel. I knew I'd get that word. Brandon is mining the mics today. Don, am I on? Are being recorded yet? That's good. This church is governed by elders, and churches are governed many different ways. I've been a part of many different churches, many forms. This church is governed by the elders, and they have essentially oversight over the church. And the elders and myself have come to an agreement that whatever role I had before, as it's evolved from the last week in July, myself and the elders, we've come to the conclusion, or at least the agreement, that starting in May, I will be the what is called the lead pastor, the senior pastor. And there are churches that don't have one, but we've come to the conclusion that we want one. And Pastor Matt will be an associate pastor here. And all additional pastors, when the hundreds of thousands of people come, they will be associates or whatever. We have many assistant-type pastors. This room is filled with people who assist the pastor. And I was thinking about it earlier, from music to technology to the visitors to everything, and we thank each one of you for that. The senior pastor is responsible to the elders and all of the ministries then that come from this fellowship. I will review, and we want to take a good look at what we're doing, how we're doing it, and if there's adjustments that need to be made, we'll make those adjustments. And if not, we'll just ask the Lord to bless us and keep us and make us strong, point us in the right direction. And I wanted to share that with you this morning. Who was the Rubio that got in trouble for drinking water? Marco? I think I've been to New York City 3 or 4 times, can't remember which. I think it was the second time I was there on a Sunday afternoon. I hadn't believed that I could have any interest at all in Broadway. Anybody been to an actual Broadway play in New York? Not that it matters. James raised it. He's hiding behind the tree, but I do see that. I don't know that it matters. Seattle thinks they have just as good as anything in New York, so you know you don't get too excited about it. I didn't think I would enjoy it. I was blown away at some secular Broadway show I went to on a Saturday night. And the next day I got up and went down Times Square and was looking for a ticket to something. And I've mentioned this here, I think, before. The Broadway play that I went to was called Les Miserables. Everybody know that? What does that mean? You French people, what does it mean? It means the miserable ones. A nice, positive Broadway show I went to. I went there because I knew I was flying away that night, but I wanted to get one more under my belt so I could be like the name dropper. Never heard of it. And I went to it, and I told myself I'd never forget his name. Victor Hugo wrote it. Is that right, those of you that know? And then they put it into Broadway form. And I sat there ready to listen or whatever. I just knew I was going back with 2 Broadways under my belt when I got back to Seattle. By what they call intermission, I call halftime. But they don't like that word halftime. They like intermission. By intermission, after watching the first half of this Les Miserables, I had such a lump in my throat, I could not talk. I was so struck by that play, so struck that in downtown, inner city New York City, the message of grace could come through. That entire Broadway play, that entire movement by the author has to do with law versus the grace. Law versus grace. And I won't spoil it for you, but a uncle trying to steal a piece of bread got caught for his little nephew, got sent into prison in Marseille, France. Well, I just was there not long ago. Hello. And he spent 10, 11, 12, 13 years in prison for being caught stealing a piece of bread. And he gets out, and he tries to start his new life over. But can you imagine that it might be tough to go to prison and start a new life over? Can you imagine that they don't put you to the front of the line to get a job? Well, does it suit them right for breaking the law? And so our hero finds himself in a monastery, and this wonderful priest takes care of him. These two nun-type people, I'm not sure what they were, but they weren't too happy he was there. They go to sleep at night, and he sees some silver articles. And he lays there and thinks about it. He can't get a job. Nobody hiring him. And he takes the silverware. That's what he does. He takes the silverware and heads out into the snow in the dead of night. In the morning, there's a knock on the door, and here come the cops. And they have the guy who just got out of prison and the bag full of silverware that he had. They open the door, and they say, "Father, somebody, we've got the guy who took your silverware. Here he is. Here's your silverware." That's where the Broadway play comes to a point. And the question, I guess, is what would Jesus do? Remember that in the back of bumpers? All kinds of bumpers in Seattle that say different things than that. But and there stood the thief who just got out of prison. One word from this priest's mouth, he's back, possibly for the rest of his life. One word. I just want to share this morning the wonderful word, grace. Grace, 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 grace. And that the Bible is a story about grace. From Genesis to Revelation, grace. What is grace? I don't mean the movie star. What is grace? Well, the word grace simply means you are in this position. In this position. And you make up your mind. You don't have to bend down. But you bend down for any object you're for. You bend. The word grace means you bend down. You don't have to, you choose to. God so loved the world. Before creation, God planned to save. Before man even existed, God planned to save man. Then the universe, then the creation of man, then the fall of man, then the prophecies of Jesus, then Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. The Holy Spirit falls on the church. The Holy Spirit makes men out of mice. Men who couldn't stand, couldn't talk, couldn't walk, couldn't do anything, suddenly are empowered by the Holy Ghost. And I was going to read, but I just won't take the time. I want to tell you where it is in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. After this 3,000 people that were saved last week, and they rushed toward their bank, and I don't mean first bank, the river bank. Everybody with me? They rushed toward the bank to be baptized. A new life was coming their way.
They were so excited. Peter, the loser, had stood up with fire on his head.
And he pounded them. He pounded and he pounded the truth. This is what you did to Jesus. The one you watched and walked and the one who healed, the one who did all these things. You crucified him. And so they said, Peter, enough. We can't stand it. What can we do about it? He said, repent and be baptized. And they did. And the church was born. And the church then, the Bible says, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking in bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. They were together in all things, and they sold things. What happened was they developed a camp meeting. You all been to camp meeting? It's almost like Disneyland, camp meetings. Because you go in, somebody else is cooking for you. You just take your plate and put them away. Usually some camps. In 1970, I was on top of Queen Anne Hill in Seattle, headquarters of the Jesus people, and it was a lot like this. I mean, it was a tremendous time. You had all kinds of activity going on in the nation, anti-war, black witches, you had black satanic witches, Jesus people, and they stayed in a Methodist church on Queen Anne Methodist. And I've already told you, I'll tell you some other time how I ended up going through there, but hundreds of radical hippies had been born again. And they were sitting and eating and singing and even moving when they sang, which was almost sinful to us Assembly of God people. You cannot sing and move at the same time. I didn't know you could. You can. Everybody understand that? It's not of the flesh to sing and move at the same time. I thought it was. It's not of the flesh either to take an occasional bath, which was a bit of a challenge. In those days, there was a freedom, don't you know? Was anybody besides me alive in 1970? You weren't up there, were you, okay. In the early church, they're sitting around enjoying one another day after day after day. And somebody checks his notes and says, wait a minute. Jesus said here, he says, I want you to go into all the world and share the good news with all creation. And they all looked at each other, go? Go? Leave where we are? Praying and eating and sleeping. And eating. Did I mention eating? And sleeping. And now, somebody says we have to go with what? With the message. Remember in Acts 1:8? Wait here and be empowered so that you can go to all areas of the world. And this handful of people heard the news. They were supposed to go all around the world with the message. What message? A gospel message that by believing in Jesus, you can have eternal life. How is the world going to know it unless they go? The internet was down. Everybody with me on that? It wasn't working then. And here people enjoying life, enjoying the blessing of the Lord, the joy that's deep within a Christian, and all of a sudden somebody says, yeah, I remember Jesus said you're supposed to go. Somebody shouts out, well, I don't have a sitter. No, thank you for laughing at that. No. Not go across the street. Around the world. These men and women in the early church, they went from big men to beaten men. Everything was going fine until Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, decided he would raise somebody up on his way to the temple. But such as I have, give I to you, Peter says, in the name of Jesus. Can
ministries. In power ministry, you're not the people who push people over. It's the people who can raise people up. Whew.
You can push and rock and roll and get somebody dizzy, and they will eventually fall down, maybe out of self-preservation.
You want to know a real powerful man or woman of God? That's somebody who can lift somebody up. Peter raised somebody with who was crippled from birth. But I'm talking about crippled from any kind. Hello? How do you lift somebody up unless you do what? Bend down. So the message that Jesus gave to the church says, go around the world, was a message of bending down to people, lifting them up.
Well, the local religious people didn't like that, and they took Peter and John and they flogged them. It doesn't, in the original, it's not floss here. Did anybody see floss in their Bible? They didn't floss them. They beat them. 1 minute they were the talk of the town, and that one word from the religious people, and they beat them miserable. I had a few corrective moments with my father. Anybody have a corrective moment with your father besides me and Gary? And Taylor. Corrective moments with your father is a world of difference than being beat. And yet the disciples, when they recover from it, they rejoice that they were kind of worthy to suffer. They were so busy, they got together some deacons and they said, hey, we gotta pray, we can't do everything. You guys wait on tables, blah, blah, blah. One of them was Stephen. Stephen said, I can do that. Somehow Stephen went from a table waiter to being anointed by God and got carried away and started preaching the word of grace where he should not have, in a place of law. Where law ruled, Stephen got carried away. He got so carried away that the Bible says that they looked at him and he had a glow on his face. I put this stuff on to take care of these. Keep the sun off me, so occasionally it's still there. Is it there today? No. The scars, right? Stephen prayed, preached, and the Bible says it caused them. The gospel of grace caused the religious people to gnash their teeth. I am not going to support anything. I've kept the law. I haven't gone wrong. I haven't done this wrong. You are not going to bring grace into this situation and bless somebody who hasn't done what I want. That's not fair. Yet Peter preached it. And when they couldn't handle it enough, they grabbed him and they drug him out in the city. Out of the city. And they proceeded to throw rocks and stone him. And I sat this week, picture in my eyes, I don't want to get gory. I thought, how do you stone somebody? You first got to knock them down. I it's a very serious thing. You have to knock them down with stones. And then you have to hit them where they cannot recover. The Bible says Stephen became the first martyr, and Jesus stood. To receive his first martyr, he stands up. Stephen says, I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of the Father. And then a precious translation here says, and Stephen then bows his head and goes to sleep. All of a sudden, Christians are flying every which direction. They're leaving Jerusalem for Greece. They're leaving Jerusalem for Rome. They're leaving Jerusalem for Spain, for England, for Russia. For the Arab countries. Some were led to face the lions. Not me. Hello? I bless those who had that kind of... You wonder how some people do things? It's because God puts it in their heart to do it. A motivation, a gifting. If you don't have it in your heart to, you don't have to be... You're not everybody. Amen? If you don't have it in your heart to do it, you don't have it. Yeah, I would say not do it. I would not only have been in England, I'd have been on my way to Nova Scotia had the lions been coming after me. But God knew this.